Okay? Now, in the book of Galatians chapter 5 is what I want to focus on this evening. I think this is a real important message because I think it's going to cover something that we've covered in the past, but it's going to cover something I think that will help us in our spirituality. Certainly, we do want to be spiritual, and we do want to be close to the Lord, but I think this message will indeed help us with regard to that. If you look down at verse 25, this is where we're going to begin, and I'm going to give this a message, a title, Live in the Spirit, Walk in the Spirit. Let me give it to you again. Live in the Spirit, Walk in the Spirit. Combination of both. Now, if you'll look down where the title comes from, now that won't be the radio broadcast is a different title. This is a different, setting. So, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, certainly, what does it mean to live in the Spirit? When do we begin to live in the Spirit? Think just for a little bit. When do we begin to live in the Spirit? The day we were saved. The day we were saved. If you'll turn back to the book of Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the what? You begun in the Spirit. You begun in the Spirit. Now it says, are ye made perfect by the flesh? Of course, that's still a problem today, isn't it? People begin in the Spirit and they begin in grace, but then they think their salvation is completed by their deeds. That's horrible. And that's the same problem they're having at the Galatian churches. But the point I wanted you to see is they begun in the Spirit. The day you were saved, the Holy Spirit brought about a new birth in here, inside of you. You were born again. And He brought about a new life in you the day you were saved. And then He opened your heart and He opened your understanding. Do you realize the Holy Spirit did all that? You didn't understand the gospel and your condition because you were brighter than other people. The Holy Spirit brought about conviction and illumination of your mind. And you seen what you were, and then you seen Christ as your Savior, and you trusted Christ as your Savior. That was all because of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 says, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. So, I think we all knew that here tonight, didn't we? We began in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that brought about life in us. He brought about the new birth. And then, not only that, but He took possession of our hearts the day that we were saved. After that, we believed. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So, if you're here tonight and you're born again, then inside of you dwells the Holy Spirit. Everyone that's saved has the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you don't belong to Him. That's what it says. So, we live in the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? That's what it means. Since we live in the Spirit, then what does it say? Let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, it's two different things. It's two different things. You begin to live in the Spirit the day you're born again. Now it tells you that we need to walk in the Spirit. Not everyone that lives in the Spirit walks in the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Not everybody that lives in the Spirit walks in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Now, I'm going to give you a definition. Now, we're a definition for it. It's going to be sort of something that you heard before. I think to walk in the Spirit means the same thing to be filled with the Spirit. I think it's two different words that means this exact same thing. If you're filled with the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit. So I think they both mean the same thing. If you live in the Spirit, then let us do what? Walk in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means for the Holy Spirit to control you. To walk under the influence and under the control of the Spirit of the living God. Do you realize that you're at your very best spiritually when the Holy Spirit is controlling your actions and controlling your thoughts and controlling the way that you talk? You say, well, Jeff, the Holy Spirit's always controlling the way that I act. You want to rethink that? No, He's not. Sometimes you're being controlled by your old flesh. The Holy Spirit's not always... You might live in the Spirit. You might have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, but sometimes you're not being controlled by the Spirit. You're being controlled by your flesh. Sometimes the Holy Spirit ain't controlling your mouth. Sometimes the Holy Spirit ain't controlling your actions. You are in the flesh. So he's saying, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Have the Holy Spirit controlling your actions, your speech, your walk. We talk about a Christian walk. You know, after we're saved, we have a walk with the Lord. What's that mean? It's talking about our manner of life that we live. And we are to have a walk with the Master. Our conduct should be such as is pleasing to the Lord after that we're saved. What you have in what is this, 2008? Is you have folks, here's what they want. They want saved from hell. They want all the benefits of heaven and eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and they want the Lord to hear all their prayers, but they want to walk in sin at the same time. That don't happen that way, folks. It don't work that way. Isn't that what you see? They want to have all the benefits of salvation, but they won't want to walk. They don't want to have a walk with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. That's not a sign of the new birth. The new birth causes you to have a spiritual thirst, a thirst for spiritual things, and causes you to want to have a walk with Him. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to have a close fellowship with the Lord. Don't you? Well, that is a sign of the new birth. So, we live in the Spirit. When did that begin? It began the day that we were saved. Now, we are to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? We want to have the Holy Spirit controlling us. We want Him to be the one that is dominant in the way that we conduct ourselves. We want to walk under the influence of the Spirit of the living God. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Now, what's the benefits of it? Gives us two of them here in this text. I did bring you, I've got a piece of paper here I want to read here in just a little bit. What's the benefits of walking in the Spirit? Notice what it says in verse 16. Let's get the first benefit of walking in the Spirit. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. That's benefit number one. Now, we all of us look forward to the day when we get a new body, don't we? We all look forward to that. And you know, one reason I look forward to that is because I'm looking forward to getting a body that doesn't sin. How about you? This body still has sinful inclinations and desires. And if you say yours don't, then we need to talk. Because I guarantee you, yours does too. We still live in a body of flesh, and we look forward to one of these days getting a new body. So we have this body of flesh. And it says that if we walk in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the desires of our flesh. In other words, when we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we have this flesh in tune. We have it under control. Instead of obeying the evil inclinations of the flesh, we're obeying the Spirit, the promptings of the Spirit of God. All God's people say it. So that's one of the benefits. That's one of the benefits of walking in the Spirit, is that it helps you control, to have in check the evil, sinful desires of the flesh. You know, one of the problems today, I believe, in Christianity is a great host of people that are saved are not walking in the Spirit. They're more controlled by the flesh, and there's reasons for that. But benefit number one to walking in the Spirit is when you're in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Is that what it says? Would you not consider that a benefit? If you want to have your flesh under control, and it's only done when you're walking in the Spirit. Number two, benefit number two is the fruit of the Spirit. Look down in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness. Temperance and self-control, against such there is no law. Now, we're going to focus on two of the fruits of the Spirit. Whenever the Holy Spirit is controlling you, your mind, your thinking, your conduct, you know how you act? Well, you're filled with joy. peace. Long-sufferings, you're able to put up with a whole lot more. Peace and all these different things. You know, the world's looking for joy and peace. And a lot of times people that are saved think, well, you know, I'm in this circumstance that I'm in right now. And you know, if the Lord would change the circumstance I was in, I'd have more joy, or I'd have joy and peace if He'd just change my circumstances. If you're walking in the Spirit, you will have joy and peace. Because that's a fruit of the Spirit. If He's controlling you, if His influence over you is so great as it should be, then one of the fruits of that is joy and peace. One of the reasons why God's people is not happy like they should be and don't have the peace like they should is that they're dominated by their flesh. That's what's dominating. They're not dominated by the Spirit. They're dominated by their flesh. Now, you want to know why that is? Well, let's go ahead and look at the... We showed you so far what it means to walk in the Spirit, to be under His control. It means basically the same thing as being filled with the Spirit. Okay? We showed you the benefits of it. What's the benefit, number one? You won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. Is one of the benefits. What's benefit number two? The fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so that's the benefits. Now, how do we do it? We live in the Spirit. Now, how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, we'll give you about three things here. Are you ready for them? Number one, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you have to feed yourself spiritually. If you want the Holy Spirit to not only live in you, but to control your actions and thoughts and the things that you do, you have to feed yourself spiritually. You know one of the reasons why God's people don't have no joy and peace? You want to know one reason why God's people are so weak spiritually? They never eat spiritually. They never do it. You know, one of the things God's Word is likened to in God's Word, it's likened to food, isn't it? The Bible says to desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. If you want to grow and you want to be strong, you have to do what? You have to eat. You know what you could do? You could lift weights every day of your life if you wanted to. But if you starved yourself at the same time, would you get strong? I've often read about 80% of bodybuilding was always diet. Not so much working out. Yeah, everybody likes to work out. I mean, not everybody does, but people who do like to work out realize that diet is very important. Well, if the Holy Spirit's going to control you, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, then you have to feed yourself spiritually. Now, what are we supposed to eat in order to be close to the Lord, in order to walk in the Spirit? It's the Word of God. You got to feed on it. You got to feed on it. You got to come to God's house where you can hear it taught on. Now, you got a good situation here, I think. You can come on Sunday evenings. Normally, we wouldn't be in Galatians, but you can come here on Sunday evenings and you can be taught in the book of Ephesians. You can turn on the radio on Monday evenings and you can receive a broadcast where we're teaching through the book of Galatians. You can come on Wednesday and you can receive another meal there where you get a little dose of the Psalms. You can come to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. I believe Brother Mike's teaching through the book of Romans, and if he's not, then he's teaching through some other book or some other doctrine class or whatever. But you can get teaching there. If you miss a service, you can get the CDs from the service and get that. So there's no reason. Hey, there's no reason for you not to get fed here. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, then you have to have the Word of God. If you're going to be controlled by the Spirit, you have to have the Word of God. You have to feed yourself spiritually if you're going to be controlled by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. He brought about your salvation from the Word, didn't He? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word. If you're going to grow spiritually, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you have to have the Word of God. You ever wonder why one of the first things the devil wants to do after you start growing as a Christian, one of the first things he wants to do is to get you unplugged from the Word of God. He wants to get you out of the house of God. He wants you to get you to where you're not reading the Word of God. If He can get you away from the Word of God, you know what it'll do to you? It'll make you so weak that what will begin to dominate then? The flesh will. I've told you this a million times, but I'll tell you a million more because it's true. My old Sunday school teacher, Nanny Bailey, used to be downstairs here. And it's Carol's mother is who Nanny is. And she's with the Lord now. But she taught me when I was about, probably 5 or 6, I still remember the lesson. She had flannel graph. And she was teaching us this truth. She was teaching us this great truth. And she took two wrestlers, and one wrestler, they starred for a week. And the other wrestler, they fed. And then after a week, after starving the one and feeding the other, they showed them. Then she put a little skinny one up there, and one was real, the one they fed was strong. And she said, "Now, which one you think's going to win the match?" And we'd holler, "The one they fed, Nanny. The one they fed, that's who is going to be stronger." Well, if you're going to be controlled by the Spirit, you have to feed yourself spiritually. And one of the reasons why folks are so weak spiritually and don't have no joy, now listen to me now, they might have trusted the Master and they live in the Spirit, but they're not walking in the Spirit because they've never feed their spiritual man. Very little. They feed their flesh more than they do the Spirit. So which one do you think is going to control the most? We have an inward struggle within us. If you'll look down in the verse 17 of Galatians 5, it says, "The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Does everybody understand the battle within? We all have a battle within. Different things do it, but we all recognize we fight it. You know, you might get up on a Sunday morning, you know, and the Holy Spirit prompts you to get up and you need to go to church this morning. You need to be in God's house. You need to assemble with God's people. You need to listen to the Word of God being preached. You need to be there where you can worship me, you know. But boy, the bed feels so good. And you was out a little bit late last night and it just feels so good. Just be so easy. They won't miss you one time. Well, they don't even need you that bad today, so why don't you just stay home? You see, and there's a struggle within. The Spirit prompts you to go. The flesh prompts you to do what? Stay home. Does everybody understand the struggle? And that's just using an illustration of the church. But there's many cases where we fight battles within to where we know the Spirit prompts us to react in a right way and the flesh wants to react in this way. So there's an inward struggle. Which one wins? The one you feed the most. The one you feed the most. You have to feed. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you have to feed yourself spiritually. You have the opportunity to do that here with all the different services. If you have to miss. Now, CDs is not provided so you can stay home and get a CD. Or we all stay home. I just record it and we got all stuff. You're supposed to assemble. The CDs is if you have to miss. It doesn't replace the service. Somebody say amen. It doesn't replace the service. It's if you have to miss. You get a CD. Where everybody do it. I just go ahead and do the sermon home and we just stay home and watch the Super Bowl next week. Now we're not doing that either. No, you come and hear the message. You come and assemble. Church is called an assembly of believers. And to have an assembly, you know what you have to do? You have to assemble. Come and worship the King. So how do you walk in the Spirit? You got to feed yourself spiritually. And I'm not just talking about coming to church. That's part of it. You have to feed yourself every day. Man, you got to take the Word of God. If I don't take the Word of God in every day, I get fleshy. How about you? Can everybody say amen to that? I get worldly. Do you? My thought life gets bad. I get despisable when I ain't walking in the Spirit. I'm not the most nice person to be around when I'm in the flesh. I don't know no Christian that's very good when they're controlled by their flesh, do you? So, Brother Raines, if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, then I have to make sure that I get fed spiritually. Not only at church, but I have to have part of His Word every day of my life. You need to read the Scriptures every day. The very least you could do, and I thought I had one of these up. You can get one of those. We got a whole rack full of daily breads. I don't agree with everything they say, but I think you won't agree with everything you read, with regardless of who wrote it. To be honest with you, but they're basically very good little readings. You can go right here and just read just that daily reading for that day. It just gives you about 10 verses, and then whatever's in the article is about those verses. It'll take you about 10 minutes. If you'll start, you that don't read every day, if you'll start just doing that, it will help you spiritually. I don't know how you can expect to be spiritual if you watch 4 to 5 hours a day of television and don't get none of the Word of God, none of the Word of God. I don't know how you can expect to be spiritually minded. Somebody say amen. Do you agree with that? How can you expect to be? I mean, because all's on there basically anymore is trash. It ain't no good unless you control what you watch, which I pray that you do. But, Brother Raines, how could you a person expect to be spiritually minded and to walk in the Spirit if they never take in the Word of God, which the Holy Spirit uses to help control your mind, and then you sit in front of that thing for 4 to 5 hours a day watching stuff that usually, for the most part, isn't any good? Even the commercials are embarrassing. You see what I mean? How can you expect to be spiritually minded? So, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, here's what I'm trying to say in my hard manner that I'm trying to get. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, you've got to get this book. You got to take it in. You got to get it down in here, Brother Mike. You got to take it through here and get it down in here. There needs to be time spent every day in this book by you. You say, well, Jeff, I don't like to read. Read it anyway. There's a lot of things I don't like to do that I do because I know I need it. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to touch you before you do, and read the Word of God. Get just that little devotion there. Whole rack full of them. Just 10 minutes. Start with 10 minutes. If I can get 10 minutes a day, it'll help you spiritually. And then come to the house of God, where you can be taught the Word of God. So, everybody got it? So if we're going to walk in the Spirit, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? You got to feed yourself spiritually. You got to feed yourself the Word of God. We all know that, don't we? Did that come to a surprise to anybody here? There's a text that says, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You say, Jeff, I don't have no joy. I'm saved, but I don't have any peace. Let me ask you a question. How much of this have you got this week? Well, none. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Joy and peace. That's one of the benefits. You want the benefit of that? You got to get it in your mind. You got to get it in your heart. As you take the Word of God, as the Word of God, Colossians 3:16, as the Word of God dwells in you richly, it moves you to walk in the Spirit and be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen if you never open God's Word. It's not going to happen. The flesh will dominate. I don't want to be dominated by the flesh, do you? Be dominated by the Spirit. Number two, still listening to me? What did Jesus tell Simon Peter? Did Jesus in Matthew 26 tell Simon Peter this? The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Does everybody in the house here tonight realize your flesh is weak? And before he told Simon Peter that, you know, Simon Peter was getting ready to fall flat on his face, wasn't he? He was warned by Jesus about what was about to happen. And then whenever Jesus went out to the garden, he took Simon Peter along with him. Remember what Jesus told him? Watch and pray. The Spirit indeed is willing. This flesh is weak. Does everybody in the house realize how weak your flesh is? And I know that. And you know that too, don't you? That's why we have to keep ourselves fed. If you don't keep yourself fed spiritually, you'll get very weak and the flesh will begin to dominate your life. And when the flesh dominates, you'll lose your joy and you'll lose your peace and you'll lose all those things because those things are associated with being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, that's the first thing we need to do. Second thing, we need to watch. Watch what? Watch means to be alert. There's things, if we're going to have a close walk with the Lord, there's things that we need to avoid. There's things that we need to stay away from if we're going to have a close walk with the Lord. Do you agree? Man, you can try to read your Bible, but if you put yourself around things that are not good, then not going to have much of an impact on you. You have to watch. Not only must you saturate your mind with the Word of God and feed yourself spiritually with the Word of God, but you've got to also watch. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil associations will corrupt your good manners." Somebody say amen. They really will. And does everybody know that evil associations takes many different forms? Sometimes evil associations are people. Sometimes they're places. And sometimes they're things. It can corrupt your thinking, corrupt your mind. Don't be deceived by them. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit, then not only do you take in the Word of God, but you got to be you watchful that you don't put yourself around things that will suck you dry spiritually and feed more of your flesh. I mentioned an example just a little while ago. The only reason why I use that is that's the most prominent one that I could think of at the time. Psalms 101 says, "I will set no wicked thing." Let me say that one more time. Psalms 101, I think it's verse 3, says, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." Wow. If you put that on the top of your television set or on top of your computer, if you went by that, how much could you watch? What could you watch? "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." What soap opera could you watch? What could you watch? Boy, that really limits things down, doesn't it? And you think the average American spends the 4 to 5 hours in front of it, and you can see how corrupting of an influence that is upon our homes, upon our minds, and upon our children. So, you got to watch. You put yourself in, you constantly take that in your mind, then it's going to corrupt the way that you think. If you run around with a crowd that doesn't love the Lord and doesn't serve the Lord and doesn't respect spiritual things and is worldly, do you think that'll have an impact on you? Well, it sure will. You can't run around with the world and people that are worldly and expect to be spiritual. Isn't that deep? I learned that in college. No, I didn't learn that in college. That's just what the Bible teaches. A companion of wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. You don't want to run with people that hate the Lord and despise the things of God. How can you expect to be spiritual if you pump in junk all the time and then you run around with a crowd that doesn't love the Lord? How can you be spiritual? You see, so not only must you feed yourself spiritually, but you also must watch and be careful. Like we used to sing as little kids, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Little ears, what you hear." Be very careful. You got to be very watchful. Or you'll fall. And be controlled by your flesh. Number 3, he said to not only watch, but he said to pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And prayer is one of the ways that we depend on the Lord. Oh, if we could just get God's people to pray. Just to pray and talk to the Lord. Not this formal stuff. You know what I mean? "Oh God, watch over me this day. Amen." Just a little old I like to call them token prayers that don't mean nothing. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, you know what I'm talking about. But I mean pray. I mean when you're talking to the Lord. You're confessing your sin and you're praying for folks and you're asking the Lord to strengthen you so you'll serve Him. Can you not see that if you never really talk to the Lord through prayer and you don't take in the Word of God and you don't come to the house of God, how can you expect to walk in the Spirit? Do you see why the flesh controls folks so much? Man, if you just do a little survey of people that they go to church or people that profess faith, it would alarm you at the amount of time they spend in the Word of God. It would alarm you. It would alarm you at the amount of time they spend doing other things that are not spiritual in comparison to time they spend doing spiritual things. It would alarm you. That's why, folks, the salt's lost its savor. It's not what it once was. Which is because we just are not feeding ourselves spiritually. So, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, what's the benefit of it? Well, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. You'll be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. But if you're going to walk in the Spirit, then you have to feed yourself spiritually. You have to watch. Be very careful. You have to watch. And you have to pray. You don't do that, your flesh will dominate you. If your flesh is dominating you and you're living in the Spirit, then you're going to be miserable. You can see that, aren't you? Can't you? You can see that. Well, let's look on. I still got some time. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 15. I've given you this in the past. We'll give it to you again. John chapter 15. Uses an illustration in this text of a vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine, and then He said, ye are the branches. And the picture of it is like in a grapevine, you have the trunk, and you have the trunk, and its roots goes down into the ground, doesn't it? And then off the trunk comes forth the what? The branches. And the branches is the part that bears the grapes. He's using an illustration. Jesus said, I'm the trunk. I'm the vine. And then He says in John 15, ye are the branches. So if a branch is going to produce fruit, what does a branch have to be in contact with? Has to be in contact with the trunk. Who's the trunk in John 15? It's Jesus Christ. You got to keep contact with the vine. Now, I've told you this before, me being the awesome weed eater that I am, sometimes I'll weed eat and I'll hit one of Debbie's flowers or one of her bushes or something, and, you know, I'll knock a branch of it off. And, you know, when you knock a branch off a bush or a tree, you know what happens after a week to that when you break, when that little branch breaks contact with the trunk and it falls on the ground, does anybody know what it's going to look like in a week? Does anybody know? It's going to be brown and withered, isn't it? Well, that's a good illustration of what happens to you spiritually. If you don't keep contact with Christ, and you get severed from the vine, you break contact, you have more contact with worldly things, and what's going to happen? You're going to wither up. You're not going to produce any fruit either. See? You got to keep contact with the vine. How do you do that? Stay in God's house. Stay in God's house. One of the first things after I rededicated my life to the Lord back when I was 16, I really didn't trust myself. I don't really trust myself now, but I really didn't trust myself back then. I knew that I could very easily pick back up on the old habits I was involved in before. So you know what I did? I made sure I was here every time the door was open. I knew I needed it. I knew it would keep me thinking right. I knew if I was around the people of God that it would have a strengthening effect on me. And I knew if I was listening to some preaching, it'd have an impact in my life. So I made sure I was here. I knew I had to do that. I knew if I got out of church, then it would weaken me. And you know something else I did? I knew I needed to have the Word of God. I knew I needed to have that not only at church, I knew I needed to have that every day. I'd carry a little Testament with me, you know. And every chance I'd get, I'd read just a little bit just to keep my mind thinking straight. I wanted to think straight. I didn't want to fall back into the things I did before, but I knew if I was going to do that, then I was going to have to make sure I was fed spiritually. I had to keep contact with the what? With the vine. And the more that contact was there, and I took in the Word of God, I kept contact with Christ through prayer, I ran with people that loved the Lord so that I would be influenced toward the right. And you know what it helped me do? Helped me walk in the Spirit. And the old lust of the flesh, I was able to say, I'm not going to do that because that would be a sin against my God. That strength. Where did that strength come from? It came from the Spirit. Very important if you live in the Spirit that you also walk in the Spirit. Very important you do that. If you're going to produce fruit as a Christian, and the reason why you want to produce fruit as a Christian is so that you'll bring glory, honor, and praise to the one that saved you. If you're going to produce fruit so that you can have an impact in other people's lives, then you got to keep that contact. You got to make sure you keep yourself fed spiritually and do those things that I was just speaking of. Because if you, those are the first things that are attacked. The first thing Satan hits, and if he can unplug you from all those things, then he can make you so weak spiritually that the flesh will begin to dominate, you'll hurt your testimony, and you'll become unfruitful. All God's people say it. So, Jeff, does it really work that way? Hey, you know what I'm telling you is the truth tonight. You know what I'm telling you is the truth. You've seen it. And I can guarantee you, you've also experienced it. I think sometimes what we do is folks play Christian. On Sundays, they put on their Christian face. They put on their Christian clothes. But what you see is not what you get. What you see is really not what you get. It's just all a put on. What I'm talking about is walking in the Spirit. Having a life that's lived close to the Lord. Having a life that's in His Word and in His house and worshiping Him and are spiritually minded about spiritual things, you know. That's what I'm speaking of. Spending time daily. Hey, your best part of your day should be that time that is spent with the Lord. If you have a time, you spend with the Lord. Well, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, to also walk in the Spirit. Okay? Back to, I never read, I just explained John 15. Turn back to Galatians chapter 5. Let's finish this. Okay, now we all understand what we've talked about so far. Remember what the title of the message is. If you live in the Spirit, then you need to walk in it. Okay? Showed you the benefits of it. We looked at that. Then I showed you how to do it. I showed you how to do it, which that's important too. If you don't know how to do it, then you can see why the message wouldn't do you much good at all. So we've looked at how to do it, the things we need to do in order to be that. Now we just got to carry it out. Now we've got to make sure we practice it. Now there's another thing in here that I want you to see. And it's in verse, let's begin at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's unrestrained sin, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance is discord. Emulation is jealousy, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying. Of course, it's not a sin to envy, is it? You ever notice when people talk about their list of sins, it's very small. Just don't drink, smoke, or cuss, you'll be all right. They'll say, well, you mean you think you can, some of them go out here and get drunk and run up the road and still be saved? You ever hear people do that? What about jealousy and envy? Aren't they sins too? What about covetousness? You see, people have a very broad list of what they consider. You don't do this little list of theirs, you're perfect. But the list is broad. So it gives you a big list of the envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I want you to watch this. Of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which, now watch what this says, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that what it says? This is not the only verse that says that. It says it in 1 Corinthians 6. It says it in Ephesians 5. And it says it again in 1 Thessalonians 4. You say, well, Jeff, what that mean? Well, it means exactly what it says. The word do, if you want to underline this in verse 21, the word do means to practice. To make it a lifestyle. David fell into sin, didn't he? He committed adultery, but was that David's lifestyle? Certainly not. People that make these type things a lifestyle, it's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's the same thing 1 Corinthians 6 says. That's why it says, be not deceived. Is that a problem today? Yep. You got a great host of people that have made a profession of faith. They've made a profession of faith. But not able to use a proper term for it, but they're drunks. They got a profession of faith, but I'm a drunk, but but I've trusted Christ. Or they're adulterers, or they're fornicators, or they're all of these things, and they're partiers. Oh, but I made a profession of faith. It says they that do these things. This is your lifestyle. Will not inherit the kingdom. You say, well, boy, that's awful. It's intended to be strong. That's why there's four texts that says the same thing. And see, what's been the problem? We'll go to these texts and we'll explain how this doesn't go against eternal security. It don't go against eternal security. Those that's eternally secure has had a new birth. And has had a change of life. They're not going to want to practice these things anymore. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. But if someone makes a profession and then continues to live these ways, there's something bad wrong down in here. All God's people say it. So, if you live in the Spirit, what's the message? If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you know something, Mike? If you're walking in the Spirit, the guys you work with will know it. Your wife will know it. Your spouse will know it. Your children will know it. Your schoolmates will know it. I'll go to your job and say, "Hey, so and so, he's a member of the church that I pastor." And they go, "What? You're kidding me?" Well, I hate when they do that. And then I act like I don't know who they were. No. If you're walking in the Spirit, what I'm telling you is that, Brother Raines, the people around you will know it because you'll see it in you. You'll want to talk about the things of God. You'll want to control the old evil impulses of your flesh. You say, Jeff, does that mean a Christian never sins? Definitely not. They do fail because we still live in flesh. But we do have an inward battle, don't we? Every day. Every day we fight it. Let me read you a little something. Stop with this. A Christian is not a person who experiences no bad desires. A Christian is a person who is at war with those desires by the power of the Spirit. Conflict in your soul is not all bad. Even though we long for the day when our flesh will be utterly defunct and only pure and loving desires will fill our hearts, yet there is something worse than the war within between the flesh and the Spirit, namely, no war at all. So having a battle within is a good sign. But if you're going to win the victories, what do you have to do? Walk in the Spirit. Let's all stand. Well, I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry I didn't cover Ephesians.